we want to talk about is to give you a little background on the reasons for the pilot, give you some results and lessons learned, and then discuss early plans for an exercise to further test this capability in 2008 flu season. So a little background. Jeannie talked about the fact that we've been focused on preparedness efforts over the last number of years. For a pandemic, it's recognized that in the early stages and upwards for a year that vaccine will be in very short supply. And as a result, the national pandemic plan calls for close monitoring of the vaccine during its time of scarce supply. That is a objective that CDC has as a responsibility for the implementation plan. To accomplish this, we've developed a mechanism to track using leveraging existing systems within the CDC. One is the Countermeasure and Response Administration system, and the other is existing systems within the state and local areas. We've worked collaboratively over the last couple of years to define an aggregate set of data that would be reported to the CDC on a weekly basis. In addition, the CRA application has been updated to provide multiple ways for states and project areas to get this data to the CDC. And by project areas, those are the public health emergency preparedness grantees, which include the 50 states, 8 territories, and 4 metropolitan areas. So just a little quick background on the Countermeasure and Response Administration application. Many of you may be familiar with it through the smallpox vaccination program. It was previously known as the pre-event vaccination system. We've since evolved the system to support tracking countermeasures for any event, whether at the detail level or in aggregate. And countermeasures may be vaccine, medical countermeasures, as well as non-medical. And the three ways for the system to accept data are, number one, if you've got if a project area has a system already in place, such as an immunization system, we've defined a subset of data to be sent via data exchange in multiple means, 3 different means, pipe delimited, XML, and HL7. The second method, which is web entry aggregate, is really, we kind of consider this to be somewhat of a backup plan. And this is the where a project area either has manual mechanisms for collecting the detailed data and then aggregates it manually and enters it directly, or may have a system existing but is not quite at the level of having the interface ready for the data exchange piece. And the third area is for project areas that choose to use the CRA application to collect the detail level data, and then we will aggregate the information for you. So let's turn to the seasonal pilot test. We wanted to test this capability and felt that probably the best proxy for that was seasonal influenza clinics. And we wanted to develop a pilot that was minimally invasive to normal operations, but that we would collect aggregate information that was already being collected. And our interest was to assess two things. One was the project area's ability to collect and report to CDC, as well as to access the data back that they submitted to us. And then on our part, to assess our technical capability of the CRA system to accept the data and to then aggregate it and report it. And we're happy to say that we had recently had an influenza, a pandemic exercise at the CDC, and were able to use the summarized data for that exercise. As I mentioned, the exercise was designed to be minimally invasive for normal operations, with a time frame between November 1st and December 31st. And we wanted it to be repeatable. So in other words, if we wanted to have data, we didn't want everybody to send all their data, but we wanted to at least get data from two clinics so that we could prove that the data collection was, in fact, successful and repeatable. The minimum data set for the pilot focused on age groups. The minimum data set for the pandemic includes broader categories that are not normally included within a seasonal vaccination clinic, such as tier groups and dose groups. So we focused on those areas that we felt could be collected during the initial pilot. And parameters for being fully successful. So one of the things we wanted to do was measure success of project areas and CDC to complete this project, this pilot. So there were four elements to be considered fully successful. The first was for each project area to identify a point of contact. The idea there was that we have somebody that we could work with for the pilot, but that we could work with moving forward on future exercises or in the event of a pandemic, that we could work with that person to ensure that processes were set up. The second was that we asked the project areas to identify their option choice. So that's the data exchange, web entry aggregate, or web entry detail patient level. And then the fourth element was to send the data for both clinics that were identified. Identify a minimum of two clinic dates, and then the fourth was to send the data within 48 hours of the clinic. This is a very busy slide, but and I won't read all of it, but this was a fairly complex endeavor, and it required a lot of cooperation on the part of the project areas in working with us, and we are very appreciative. There are three phases to the pilot. The first, of course, was the pre-pilot planning phase. The second, the pilot test itself. And then the third is the post-pilot phase, which we're concluding now, in which we're assessing lessons learned and the actual results. We had tasks for both CDC and project areas for all three of those phases, of course. Initially, we started with webinars. We developed webinars to access a broad audience in terms of defining what the pilot expectations were, what the options were, and any resources that were available. And then from the project areas, we expected the point of contact to be identified, the option choice to be identified, as well as the clinic dates, all by a certain time frame. During the pilot test itself, the big requirement on the part of the project areas, of course, was to submit the data. And on our part, we provided support in resolving any issues. And then the third phase, we conducted a formal after-action review meeting via telephone. We've developed an after-action report. We also provided a feedback questionnaire to understand where we could have done better, what we did well, et cetera. And then, of course, in your part, we had participation from the project areas. So those were some of the task expectations. And we're very appreciative of all the work that was done for that. So let's start with some of the results. Here are this is a map of the project areas, and it identifies what option choices were chosen. And as you can see, there's a fair amount of fair distribution between primarily the one and two, the data exchange and the web aggregate, with a few using the CRA application to collect the detail. We see an opportunity for the web entry aggregate to perhaps to move more towards collecting the information at a detail level within the immunization registries, or possibly, if necessary, through the CRA application. I don't know whether they have, here we go. So summary results. Going into this, we had hoped to have very broad participation. We had specifically set up the pilot to be minimally invasive. However, we were not entirely sure what we would get. And so we're very excited to present these results. These are very impressive in terms of the willingness to participate and the actual participation itself. So during the pre-planning phase, we had 100% identify the point of contact and 100% select the option of choice. So this said to us, of course, that there's a high degree of willingness to participate in this project. And then the third piece was that we had the majority, 85%, submitting the clinic dates, so identifying a clinic date and reporting that. When we got to the pilot itself, again, we had extraordinary participation with 89% submitting some data. And that's a pretty impressive number, 55 of the 62 project areas. There were some that did not collect any data, and we'll talk to you later. but in terms of the fully successful criteria, we had 64% that met the fully successful criteria. So again, that's a majority. So that's very impressive. So that says to us that we not only have interest in participating, but we actually have participation. We recognize this is our crawl phase, but it's a very impressive result. In terms of the post-pilot, we also got a lot of participation in providing us feedback so that we have a good understanding of where we could improve and perhaps how we could better test this moving forward. So we had 55 folks complete the online questionnaire, and we had 61% of the project areas were representative in the after-action review call. So it's very impressive results, and Maureen's going to talk in more detail. We'll talk a little more detail about the results. But before we do that, just wanted to show you the human face of this, and that we actually had the governor of Kansas immunized in one of the pilot clinics. And also, just to show there's also animation in this, there's the bee, the Kansas bee. Bee-wise get immunized. So moving on to some of the results, this slide shows the timeliness among all of the options by aggregation method, remembering again it's data exchange, web form aggregation, and individual patient data. What we kind of took from this is that the method of aggregation did not really clearly correlate with the timeliness, so that there were other factors going on that Maureen will talk about in terms of operational issues, et cetera. And then here, we thought this was very good results in terms of for the clinic dates that were reported, the majority, between a half and two-thirds, reported in the 48-hour submission. And then one of the things that we were very interested in, and I'm going to turn this over to Warren, was for those option, those web aggregate option folks, what was the underlying method for aggregation, and was there any area for improvement, et cetera? And I'm going to have Warren talk about that. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Good morning. Thanks, Jenny, for that great introduction of the results. I'm going to go over a few additional details of the pilot project that we conducted, as well as kind of talk about the evaluation phase that took place after it, and lay out some next steps for future activities regarding priority groups. This Jeannie's talked a little bit about this slide and the amount of different techniques that are used to collect this information. When you break down the option choices that are used. You can see that a lot of different types of systems are used to be able to collect and aggregate this information. This slide here in the kind of the middle portion of the slide represents the different systems that are used for the option two users, IISs and registries, spreadsheets, and paper-based collection methods. A lot of spreadsheet and paper-based reporting is still going on. This next slide kind of aggregates, that there's a need for more than just systems. When we originally compiled this data, we were thinking, well, let's see if we can combine the project areas that actually use systems, would we be able to see some kind of indication on timeliness of reporting? And this says that no, you need to not only factor in your systems for reporting this data, but also keep in mind the operational and coordination issues that are involved in getting this data out of these systems from the clinics, coordinating them from the clinic and pilot sites to get them up and reported. So there's still a need for a lot of operational and communication and coordination issues that have to be addressed more than just systems. We certainly think in the event of a real situation, the systems are going to help, but it's also important to keep in mind the operational context of these challenges that we have. Another interesting point that happened in the pilot, and I think it highlights a couple of interesting facts. About five project areas switched from their original option choice to do something else. I think that reflects a couple points. Number one, that it's the system that we're trying to build is very flexible and can adapt to local needs as they change and evolve. And it also says that states are project areas are getting their systems up and kind of teched up to be able to meet the reporting requirements that will be required for something. And so you can make those changes right up until the last minute to be able to report your data and use the local systems as necessary. So I think we had a total of three project areas move to option one and two project areas move to option two. Certainly small numbers, but I think an important trend to indicate the flexibility and the capacity that's out there in the state systems. Moving on to the evaluation phase, we did conduct a short assessment of the project and wanted to get some feedback. We asked a variety of questions about communication benefits and issues and barriers encountered. Most people found it either very beneficial or somewhat beneficial in conducting the project. When asked what the issues were in the challenges in dealing with this project, the number one challenge that was out there were the digital certificates and working with the security issues about reporting this data in. We're very well aware of this and have some slides that talk about our actions to try and get it addressed. File format challenges, anytime you're dealing with data exchange issues, you're going to have these kind of things. Technical issues on timeout and certainly coordination with local health departments were some of the highlights that were mentioned. We did conduct an after-action call. As Jeannie mentioned, it basically confirmed the feedback we got from the questionnaire that digital certificate problems are out there and we need to address those. Other positive feedbacks of CRA was easy to use and fairly good communication that came out from the pilot. What are we doing to try to address some of these challenges? We're trying to get some meetings in place with our security officers to really let them know that this is a challenge for our partners and for being able to meet the needs of a potential emergency. And we really need to find some good solutions to make that process a little easier and certainly a little more timely in getting these technical things administered and implemented in the field. Timeout issues for the user sessions, we fixed some of those issues and we'll be monitoring configuration issues for the ongoing pilots. Data exchange specifications in the process of changing and taking lessons learned from the pilot and fixing those. And we're always trying to improve communications, et cetera. Planning conferences and training are being planned. Just to kind of say that there actually was some real data that was reported. About 57,000 doses came in across a wide variety of age groups. This isn't meant to be representative of any samples or of populations or anything, but just documenting the fact that we were getting some large numbers that were coming in through the system for for this very initial project, Jeannie said, the crawl phase, which is a good analogy for where we are. In conclusions, vast majority willing to collect and participate in the project. Two-thirds of the project area has got data in within 48 hours. Certainly, there are some challenges that exist, and a lot of the technical issues we're trying to work out ahead of time, so we're more prepared. The good participation and the feedback we've gotten says people are really encouraged and want to do more for the next upcoming exercise, and so that's where we're headed next. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about what we think that may entail. Increased frequency. The last time we just did submitting twice, and that was it. We want to test frequency weekly. On the 2008 exercise, we're going to test increasing volume from a larger capacity of data that has to come in. We are also going to be looking at priority groups. I have a couple slides on that that I'm going to go over. But that's kind of a new and next step in the challenge that this project will have to deal with. And we're going to expand the time frame of reporting. Last year it was just from, I think, November to December. We're going to kind of open it up at the start of the flu season in October and go through December 31st. So in fall of 2007, HHS released some pandemic priority groups. This is listed in the vaccine part of the pandemic flu plan. It has basically, if you take a look at this document, it can be summarized into about four categories, 14 tier groups, and numerous target groups within that. So when we look at this and try to come up with a pattern that we think will work for aggregate data reporting, we've been able to summarize some possibilities that break it down by category within tier group, and then tier groups across categories. The data collection and aggregation will not be done at the individual target group level. So I have some examples of this on the next slide. These are the four categories that are out there and the tier groups that are within them. They're homeland and national security, critical infrastructure, and healthcare and community support services have three tier groups, and the general population has five. For the purposes of the 2008 exercise, we're only going to focus on the general population groups. These are typically everybody that would be seen in the clinic setting. We're going to plan for those five categories and collect data on them, and we're not going to collect data on the other tier groups, but we are going to plan to build those variables or buckets into the system so they're ready to start collection when the time comes. Next steps for the pilot, we're going to continue to disseminate pilot results. This is yet another example of that, and some of you have already participated in other forums for this. We're going to be communicating and gathering input from the pilot groups that participated in the project. We're working on enhancements, technical specifications, and we're hoping to get those guidance documents out very soon. There are a couple of funding opportunities that have been announced that are out there. I think one of them just closed last week. That's a copter, large-scale one that I know many people in the audience have applied for. And then we also are hoping to get another one out that will go out through the 317 mechanism to help support some doses administered efforts also. And the next couple weeks, we're going to start the webinars and educational sessions for the pilot exercise coming up, as well as possible training conferences later on in the summer. That's all I have. Thank you.